headlines this hour. The U.S. Senate blames the White House for failing to protect public safety after the Gulf oil spill. Tehran says it's ready to send uranium to Turkey in a joint declaration with Ankara and Brasilia. And Israel promises that it will stop an international convoy carrying medical aid to Gaza. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the news here on Press TV. I'm Hassan Tavakoli. Thanks for joining us. In the United States, the Senate is accusing the government of failing to fulfill its responsibility to protect the public. This following the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
I know how important offshore American oil is to our nation's energy independence, but the U.S. government has a responsibility for protecting the public safety that is more important. And that responsibility, I fear, was not fulfilled in this case prior to the accident occurring. The result is the human, environmental, and economic catastrophe we are now witnessing in the Gulf.
Well, the remarks were made during a Senate hearing on authorities' response to the disaster. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano appeared before the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee to testify. Meanwhile, the committee's chairman, Senator Joe Lieberman, blasted the Minerals Management Services, or MMS, for refusing to take part in the hearing. Around the same time, a top Interior Department official who had worked for the MMS for 12 years announced that he will step down by the end of the month. The MMS has been accused of allowing BP and other oil companies to drill in the Gulf of Mexico without obtaining the required permits. Oil has been spewing into the Gulf since the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig exploded back on April the 20th. BP says it has managed to funnel out some 1,000 barrels of oil from the blown-out well through a tube. But that is only one-fifth of what authorities claim is pouring into the sea every day. Scientists estimate the leak may be growing up to 16 times faster than official estimates. Now, in a joint declaration with Brazil and Turkey, Iran has voiced readiness to exchange its enriched uranium on Turkey's soil. The declaration was signed in Tehran as it was hosting the G15 summit. Press TV's Salman Kudri was there.
Seven presidents attended the summit. Participating leaders at the 14th G15 summit in their one-day meeting discussed economic cooperation among the G15 member states and explored new avenues for cooperation between the three continents of Asia, Africa and Latin America. The G15 has now 17 members, which was established in 1989. On the sidelines of the G15 summit, a trilateral meeting between Iran, Turkey and Brazil drew the attention of journalists much more than the summit itself. In the meeting, a joint declaration was issued under which Iran agreed to exchange its low-enriched uranium with 20% enriched uranium on Turkey's soil, provided the Vienna group agrees. The declaration came after negotiations between Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Brazilian President Lula da Silva and Turkey's Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
The Islamic Republic of Iran agrees to deposit 1,200 kilograms LEU in Turkey, while in Turkey this LEU will continue to be the property of Iran. Iran and the IAEA may station observers to monitor the safekeeping of the LEU in Turkey.
Iranian officials, like Brazilian President and Turkish Prime Minister, described the deal as a goodwill gesture and a confidence-building step.
Now we have taken away all types of excuses that were raised, and I hope that this time they will be reacting with more wisdom and providence.
Under an IAEA plan pushed by the U.S. and certain Western countries, Iran's uranium initially was to be exported to Russia for further enrichment, and then to France for processing into fuel for a Tehran medical reactor. But later Tehran changed the conditions and agreed to keep its uranium on Turkish soil. Iranian officials have always been concerned about the guarantees behind the implementation of such a swap.
The presence of international representatives, Brazil and Turkey, as two independent states is said to be the best guarantee for the deal.
Analysts hope that this declaration will enable more talks between Iran and the West, and that both sides will avail themselves of this opportunity to settle the issue at a time when the world has enough crisis on its shoulders. Soman Kujuri, Press TV, Tehran.
Meanwhile, the group P5+1, led by the United States, has for months sought to bring Iran to agree with a possible uranium and exchange deal. The so-called Iran group has been touting its deal as a step forward in the nuclear dispute with Tehran. But now Iran has surprised everyone with an alternative proposed deal involving Brazil and Turkey.
Iran has agreed to ship 1,200 kilograms of its low-enriched uranium to Turkey in a nuclear fuel swap deal backed by Brazil. Tehran needs the higher-enriched uranium for a medical reactor. The Turkish foreign minister hailed the declaration as a goodwill measure designed to solve the West's nuclear dispute with the Islamic Republic.
We produce this paper which guarantees that Iran will deliver the uranium LEU to Turkey in order to open a constructive way for nuclear cooperation in the future.
NATO has also called the move a potentially good development, and Russia says it welcomes the declaration, but further talks are needed. However, an Israeli official has alleged that Tehran manipulated Turkey and Brazil and is only pretending so to ward off possible sanctions. Brazil has dismissed the Israeli accusation. Meanwhile, the European Union says the fuel swap is only part of the problem.
The main concern is not that the refueling of the Tehran research reactor, but the Iranian nuclear program itself. We think it would be clearest for Iran to reply in writing to the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna.
France and Germany say the UN nuclear watchdog has yet to approve the deal, and Britain says Iran is still a serious cause of concern. Tehran has been under Western pressure for the past 6 months to agree with another proposed deal to transfer its low-enriched uranium to a third country for a possible swap. But having been let down in the past by France, Iran has been reluctant to comply. The United States has weighed in to say Iran's announcement is a positive step, but falls short of meeting all of the P5+1 demands.
Now, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the interfering nature of some world powers has become the main problem facing humanity. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the comments in the capital Tehran during a meeting with Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe. Iran's leader said the only way to overcome this problem is for nations to unite. He's called on the group of 15 member states to become proactive in helping to achieve the goal. Ayatollah Khamenei also met with Algerian President Abdelaziz Bouteflika and touched on the situation in the occupied Palestine. He blamed the international community for its silence towards Israelis' actions. Ayatollah Khamenei has called on the Islamic countries to stop Tel Aviv's expansionist policies. Israel says it plans to stop an international aid convoy from reaching the Gaza Strip. The International Freedom Flotilla is aiming to challenge Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip. Organizers say it will be the biggest internationally coordinated effort to challenge the Israeli siege.
Israel should not be under any illusion whatsoever that their threats of intimidation will stop us, or even that their violence against us will stop us. And the international community, our respective government, should be outraged that Israel even announced intentions to use violence against unarmed civilians who pose no threat to the security of Israel.
The flotilla will be made up of 3 cargo ships and 5 passenger boats. It'll carry 5,000 tons of construction material, medical equipment and school supplies. Around 600 people from 40 countries will be taking part in the event. The flotilla is expected to set sail from Greece and Turkey next week. Israel launched a war on Gaza at the turn of 2009, killing more than 1,400 Palestinians. Since then, Gazans have been suffering from dire humanitarian conditions and have been denied access to food and medical supplies. Well, our recent poll suggests that Italians are slowly pulling away from the Catholic Church and its leader. This following the string of sexual abuse cases that have rocked the Vatican. Persevi's Christine Lacolle followed the story firsthand and discovered another reality.
2010 is marked with events that the Roman Catholic Church would rather put behind. The first scandals of sexual abuse came to light in March. Soon after, similar cases poured down on the Pope from all corners of the globe. The church has since been treading high waters, making efforts to patch up the cracks. It's been a difficult year so far for the Roman Catholic Church, and a recent study conducted by Demos and Pi suggests that it may just be the beginning. Among the many facts and figures published in La Repubblica newspaper on Monday, it appears that Italians in 2010 are much less trusting of the institution as a whole. About 47% of the 2,058 Italians above the age of 15 say they still have faith in the church, compared to 61% in 2005. And the Pope's credibility plunged as well in April, going from nearly 54% in 2007 to 46% in 2010. Last but not least, almost 62% believe the church tried to downplay or hide the pedophile scandal from the public. While the numbers show an obvious decrease in trust, the answers we got were significantly different.
I always have had faith in the Church and in the Vatican. Even though some priests, bishops, and popes may have made mistakes, faith is always a personal thing. The Church is another. If you want to go, you go. If not, you don't.
I'm Catholic, and I completely trust the Church. I think many things have been manipulated by the media. Until there is proof, they will remain rumors.
As the Vaticanista for La Repubblica newspaper, Marco Politti is an expert in all matters dealing with Italy and the Catholic Church. According to him, the poll does indeed give an accurate portrait of how Italians are perceiving the church nowadays.
These are superficial answers. Certainly, people in general in Rome, I mean, they love the Pope. It comes out of sympathy. But when it comes to the sex abuse scandal, now 2/3 of the Italian people think that the Italian church is still minimizing the phenomenon and shelving the problem.
In the end, the study shows one reality, but the people on the street say something else. Whichever truly represents the voice of Catholics in the country, only time will tell. Christine Legault, Press TV, Rome.
Now, more than 200 NATO soldiers have died in Afghanistan since the start of 2010. The figure is a significant rise compared to the same period last year when 119 NATO troops lost their lives. Overall, a total of 520 foreign troops died in 2009, making it the deadliest year for NATO forces since the start of the US-led invasion 9 years ago. In the latest incident, two Italian soldiers were killed and two others wounded after a roadside bomb hit their convoy in western Herat province. The casualties come as the U.S. and its Western allies plan to increase the number of their troops to 150,000 in the war-torn country. And you're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. The U.S. Senate blames the White House for failing to protect public safety after the Gulf oil spill. Tehran says it's ready to send uranium to Turkey in a joint declaration with Ankara and Brasilia. And Israel promises that it'll stop an international convoy carrying medical aid for Gaza.